Our message for today is coming from the scripture that was read earlier that has been identified as your theme for the weekend. It's found in Psalm 59, right, verses 1 through 10, and also verse 16 and 17. I want to read to you from the New International Version those verses again, then speak from your theme, strength to weather life's journey.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
Beginning with verse number 1, Psalm 59. He says, "Deliver me from my enemies, O God. Protect me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from evildoers and save me from bloodthirsty men. See how they lie in wait for me? Fierce men conspire against me for no offense or sin of mine. Oh Lord, I have done no wrong. Yet they are ready to attack me. Arise to help me. Look on my plight. Oh Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel, rouse yourself to punish all the nations and show no mercy to wicked traitors." Verse 6 says, "They return at evening, snarling like dogs, prowl about the city. See what they spew from their mouths? They spew out words or swords from their lips, and they say, who can hear us? But you, O Lord, laugh at them. You scoff at all those nations. Oh, my strength." Let me hear you say that. Oh, my strength.
Oh, my strength.
I watch for you. You, O God, are my fortress, my loving God. God will go before me and will let me gloat over those who slander me. That's a good word.
Yes, it is.
Slipping down to verse number 16, it says, "But I will sing of your strength. In the morning I will sing of your love. For you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. Oh, my strength, I sing praise to you. You, O God, are my fortress." My loving God. Strength.
Strength.
To weather life's journey.
Amen.
Father, as we come before your throne once again, we're thankful for the great privilege that you have given to us to assemble here. And God, to receive from you. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. God, you will declare your truth that we, your people, might be strengthened and built up, encouraged to continue this journey so that, God, wherever we go and whatever we do, you are glorified. We thank you that you are God all by yourself. And that, God, you are capable, you are able to do whatever you have declared you will do. And therefore, God, we take refuge in you and we put our hope and our trust in you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
One of the things that I loved about your theme is that it acknowledges that life is a journey.
Amen.
It acknowledges that there is a road that is being traveled. And there is a destination that God has in mind. That when he saw you, not when you were born, but yet in your mother's womb, there was a journey already laid out for you.
Yes.
That he recognized you, that he called you, and that he had purpose for you.
Yes.
And even though this is a celebration of women, brothers, I want you to know that you were included in that purpose too.
Amen. That's right, that's right.
Amen. Whether male or female, God says that I have a plan for your life.
Yes. That's right, yes. That's right.
And you know well what Jeremiah 29:11 says is that God's plans for you have always been good.
Yes.
And not evil.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Says he's had a plan for you to prosper. He's had a plan for you to do well. He's had a plan for you to succeed.
That's
because
right.
He has given you life and he has given you breath.
Mm.
And it's a journey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I love that your theme captures that idea that you and I are moving on a journey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That means that whatever you do, don't stop.
That's right.
Well,
don't stop until you have reached your destination. Don't throw in the towel until you have reached your destination. Don't quit.
Don't quit.
Before you win the prize. You don't get the prize until you get where he wants you to be.
All right now.
Come on.
So I encourage you, just keep moving along the journey.
Amen.
I also love that your theme captures the reality that life, this journey, is riddled with ups and downs.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
It's riddled with hardships. It's riddled with troubles. It's riddled with both good times and bad times. For in your theme, you said that we need strength to weather life's journey. That idea of weathering something means that something hard has come against you or something difficult has come against you to push you off course of what God designed and destined for you. And so it says, give us the strength, God, to make the journey. Then as I work my way backwards in your theme, that word strength is where we want to spend a lot of our time together today talking about strength.
Right.
Because that's an interesting word in and of itself. And as we talk about being strong, you and I need to understand that we have no strength unless we are anchored in the Lord.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
That we have no strength of our own.
That's right.
But when we are wrapped up, tied up in him,
mm.
then we are able to withstand the winds, the troubles of this life, and endure until the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
See, Jesus said it this way. He said, I am the vine.
What?
Oh, yeah.
You are the branch.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He used that in the context of reminding his disciples that you need to abide in me. You need to stay connected and hooked up to me.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Out of that, though, we get the picture that if you, the branch, disconnects from the vine, you're going to not only wither and die, but you're going to be weak along the way.
That's right.
And in order for you to have the strength that God intended for you to have, you need to stay connected to the branch.
Yes.
And what God does is like, you know, you've seen those tomato plants where you know they gotta put some type of support around the tomato plant so that as the tomatoes are starting to form on the plant, you know, they become a little bit heavier. You gotta have something that can hold it up. God has said, because you are the branches and you're not the vine, I gotta prop you up.
Woo!
I gotta give you some strength. So that you will be able to produce the fruit that I want you to produce.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So we want to talk about being wrapped up, tied up,
bound.
tangled up.
Yeah.
Propped up.
Yeah.
In Jesus.
Yeah. I like that.
Amen.
Amen.
Because if he is not your foundation, the foundation that you are on is sinking sand.
Yes.
If he is not your foundation, when trouble comes, what you built up might be lost.
Well, yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
So our text today helps us, because it says that in this life, you and I are going to have troubles. Your thing says, strengthen to weather life's journey. And it gives the idea that you're going to have trouble. Amen?
Amen.
I don't mean
take
to stay here, but and I know you know this already, but I think it needs to be reiterated, because one of the things right now that besets the body of Christ in the church is terrible theology.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things that you and I are going to have to overcome in the weeks, the months, the days, and years ahead is terrible theology.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
That means that folks are going to the Bible, plucking out of the Bible what they want, and not taking the whole counsel of God and applying the whole counsel of God to all of their lives.
Yeah.
You know, we're in the season right now where everybody has an opinion. Everybody can be published. Everybody can become an author. All you need is a device that allows you to tap into social media, and you can put your opinion out there.
And
because we're in this season right now of you don't want anybody challenging your opinion, whatever goes, whatever you put out there goes.
All right, now.
We're in a season where truth is unvetted, and you can go out on Google and search and find anything. And if you don't find the thing that matches what you want at the time, just keep searching. And the unfortunate thing is that men and women who belong to God through the person of Jesus Christ are taking that same philosophy and bringing it to the Word of God. And instead of them going to say, God, speak to me through your word, we're going in and trying to talk to God.
Tell him.
Direct him.
You wasn't worried about this one, God. Really?
That's right. Preach to you.
This is outdated, God. Wait a minute, you're talking to the eternal God.
All right, now.
Who has no beginning and who has no end, who has seen more than you will ever see. And you're trying to tell him he's outdated?
All right, now.
Come on, God.
And so, excuse me if I belabor the point that there are going to be troubles in our lives, because some would have us to believe that if you do everything right, and if God has called you, you're going to be trouble-free. Amen. That's terrible. Terrible theology. Some of us have heard the voice of God telling us to do a particular thing, and then when we start on that journey, we run into trouble, and all of a sudden, because we run into trouble, we question whether or not we really heard God say do.
All right, now.
My Lord.
All because you got bad theology.
Yeah.
That if I heard God say it, then I'm going to be able to breeze through it. From Genesis to Revelation, what you discover is that men and women who have heard the voice of God and who have moved in obedience to him have had to deal with the opposition of the enemy coming against them to stop God's plan.
Yes.
Amen. Oh, yes.
Preach the word.
Oh, yes.
And that same old enemy is being bold enough today.
Yes, sir.
He is prowling today.
Yes.
Seeking whom he can devour.
Yes.
To push you and me off course. So that's bad theology, to think that if you're doing and obeying and walking the way God told you to walk, that you won't have troubles. Because we're going to have troubles. He says, take heart. I've overcome.
That's right.
Don't worry about your troubles. I got those taken care of.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
That's one of the things I love about the text that you selected that we are working from today, Psalm 59, which records the words of David after he had been anointed as king by God.
Well,
and then he was pursued by the then king Saul.
Yes.
And King Saul wanted to take David's life. This particular psalm helps us to realize that even when you have been anointed by God, the enemy still comes in and tries to disturb God's work in your life.
All right, now.
But that's just only one side of it, because God causes all things to work together for the good of those who have been called by him, who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. And so when trouble comes, God is using your trouble to strengthen you. When trouble comes, God is using that trouble to fulfill your destiny. When trouble comes, God is using that trouble that he might be glorified through your experience. And even though the enemy might be present, even though he might be causing problems, the enemy is never bigger than the God that you serve.
That's right.
Thank
you, Lord.
This particular psalm reminds us today that in the midst of it all, God is there. And I love what David does as he breaks this down and gives us some insight into what you and I need to experience in times of trouble. He helps us to know that the way you do this is to stay hooked up to the Lord by putting your hope and your trust and your confidence in him. That when your enemies press up against you, that you need to talk to the Lord and say, God, I need to be delivered.
Amen.
God, I need your deliverance in my life. Amen. When your enemies, and you know what those enemies look like, right? Because your adversary, the devil, uses whatever he can as an enemy in your life. Amen. Sometimes he uses sickness to come and be an enemy in your life. Sometimes that sickness becomes a thorn in your side. It's an enemy. And when that enemy shows up, you need to say, God, I need you to deliver me from my enemies. Oh, don't make the mistake of thinking that your enemy is always going to come dressed in flesh. Sometimes it shows up through circumstances. Sometimes your enemy wants to get in your pocketbook and mess with your money and cause your ends not to come together. And you've got to say, God, I need you to deliver me.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Sometimes you got to say, I need you to save me. When you and I need to learn to recognize and understand is that our strength is found in our ability to call on the name of God.
All right, now.
When we are in between a rock and a hard place.
Well, thank you, Lord.
That's where your strength is found. It's in your ability to lift up your voice and use your vocal cords, to use your mouth and to declare to him, I cannot do this on my own.
Well, Lord.
God, I need your help. What you and I know is that the God that we serve is the God who does not sleep. He is the God who does not slumber. And when his children begin to call his name, he is the God who hears your cry. And you know that if he has heard your cry, you have the very thing that you have asked for. Oh, deliverance may not come immediately, but because God has heard you, you know deliverance is going to come. And when you know that deliverance is going to come, all you need to do is anchor down and wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and wait on the Lord.
Hallelujah.
David in this psalm is careful to say, God, I'm going through this and I ain't done nothing wrong.
All right, now.
You feel like that sometimes?
Yes.
You feel like, man, why am I experiencing what it is that I'm going through?
Okay.
Why am I feeling so lonely? Why am I feeling so depressed?
Well,
why are people talking about me and maligning my name? Why am I being falsely accused? Why is my back hurting so bad?
Woo. Come on.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Yes.
And you said, I didn't do anything. What's going on? Sometimes your trouble comes to make you run to God.
All right, Lord. Say that. Say that.
Yes. Amen.
Say that.
Amen.
Yes.
See, that's why the use of your voice is important.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, God, I need you. God, deliver me. God, save me. Sometimes your troubles come because you didn't get... Don't be offended. Listen, the pastor told me I can go here.
That's right.
All right.
So don't get offended. Sometimes we get too puffed up with pride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes we've experienced a little bit of success. We made a few steps here and there, and we get a little puffed up.
Wow.
And because you and I belong to the Lord, and God says, I will not share my glory with another, He has to remind us that if it wasn't for the breath that I put in your lungs, if it wasn't for the ability for you to put thought together, because I allowed your brain to function the way it should, that whatever little success you're experiencing, you wouldn't be experiencing it if it wasn't for me. And so sometimes we get a little pride, and God has allowed a little trouble to come our way.
Yeah.
You remember the Apostle Paul, right? Paul said he was having incredible experiences with God. He said that I was so caught up in the spirit that I got caught up into the third heaven, and I saw things that a man ought not see.
Yeah.
Oh, a man may not see.
And he said, and all of a sudden, God allowed the enemy to come in and send a thorn to buffet my body.
Yeah.
Paul said, I prayed about that thing. I called on the Lord and I said, deliver me. I called on the Lord and I said, save me. I called on the Lord and said, this is hurting.
All right.
He said, but no, God said to him, no, you keep that thorn.
Yeah.
All right now.
And you just remember that my grace is sufficient to keep you. Now, this is what Paul didn't write, but you probably know. To keep you from getting your head all swollen.
Okay.
And to remember that it is me who gave that all-surpassing revelation.
Yeah.
To keep you humble so that you can be my servant and fulfill my purposes in your life. To keep you from pointing at yourself and to remind you that everything needs to point back to Jesus. Because Jesus alone is to be exalted. He says, yes, Paul, my grace is sufficient to keep you in your pain. My grace is sufficient to keep you from going outside of my will.
My Lord.
All
right, so sometimes the trouble comes.
Yeah.
Because we get a little swole. Get a little outside of God's will. He reminds us that we need to come back to Him. Thanks be to God when trouble comes. He says that if you are rooted in Him, that you'll be able to withstand the winds. When we speak of that word strength, we talk about the idea of being able to withstand pressure.
Amen.
We talk about you need both a physical strength to be able to stand up against some things. You need an emotional strength because there are some things that are going to come and try your emotional bank account. You need some mental strength that you can be able to press into all types of confusion. But this word strength deals with the idea that one is able to stand up against whatever might be coming against you.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it is doubt that pushes into you. And you need a capacity to be able to withstand doubt when doubt pushes into your life.
Yeah.
When you know that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, that means he is a rewarder of those who exercise faith in him. And he says that when you are asking for something from me, don't doubt, don't waver, believe that I'm going to give you the very thing that you asked for, if it is in my will. And so sometimes you need that strength to be able to stand against, whether it be mental, emotional, or physical stuff that comes up against you. That's what you need to hold you and to anchor you.
Yeah.
Strength speaks to the ability to be able to endure until the end. Strength means that even though times get hard, you won't get weak give in. What you and I need to know is that we have one who is so full of strength, who says that I want to walk with you, and I want to be with you, and I want to journey with you. Amen?
Yeah. Walk with
me.
Yeah.
It was Mahalia Jackson who sang that song, who emphasized the fact that this was a tedious journey.
Yeah.
The fact that this is a pilgrim's journey.
Yeah.
And her appeal was to the Lord, walk with me.
Walk with me. Mm-hmm.
She said, be my friend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't let me do this thing alone.
Mm-hmm.
Don't leave me alone, because I need you to walk with me. If you leave me, I won't be able to make the journey. I won't be able to make the distance, but I need you to walk with me. When I think of the word strength, there's another word that I like to use, that you and I hear it sometimes, but we need to make sure that we got it. It's a word called grit. G-R-I-T.
Yeah.
Grit. You know, when you think about strong people have grit.
All right.
They have a stick-to-itiveness that kind of allows them to press through difficult stuff. It's called grit.
Mm-hmm.
And I need you to understand what grit really is. Grit is when you are grounded and rooted. Grounded and rooted in truth. That's what grit is. Grit is when you are grounded and rooted in truth. When you are grounded and rooted in truth, that allows you then to be able to withstand the winds of trouble that come your way. And so you need to understand, truth was defined by Jesus in John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth,
and
the life. No one comes to the Father, he said, except by me. So then you've got to be grounded and rooted in truth, which means that you've got to be grounded and rooted in Jesus.
All right.
That's good.
Yeah.
You want to be strong, you need to learn how to be grounded and rooted in Jesus. Oh, just like a person who wants to increase their physical strength, what many times they will do is begin to go to the gym if you're able to, and you start to use some of that resistance training. You start to pump a little weight. Oh, you might start off light, but if you stay with the program, you're going to get stronger each time. Oh, it's going to be sore, because in the process of building muscle, you know, sometimes you experience some soreness, and when those muscles are torn down and they heal back up, you're able to go and get stronger.
Yeah.
But what do you have to do? You've got to stay with the program. You don't stay with the program, the progress you made in week one will be lost, and you've got to go back and start all over again. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, if you're going to be grounded and rooted in truth, if you're going to be grounded and rooted in Jesus and become strong in him, you've also got to have a fitness workout program. You got to learn how to walk in the word of God. Amen. You got to learn how to take it and eat it and feast upon it daily. You got to learn that when you get into his word, he is revealing to you truth about who you are, truth about who he is, truth about this world that we live in, and that allows you to be rooted, so that when the winds of life start to blow, you're not being tossed and turned, but you are solid, you are stable, because you have exercised in the word of God.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's not enough for you to just be exercising in the word of God. You know what? You got to spend some time in Kneebone Valley. Yeah. You got to learn how to learn. You got to learn how to go to the Lord in prayer. You got to learn how to call upon his name. You got to learn how to talk to him and spend time with him like he is your friend.
Yes.
So that when you're in the midst of trouble, you're no stranger calling out to God for help. He says, I recognize that voice.
Yes.
That's the one that early in the morning.
Yes.
Before they crawl out of the bed,
yes.
they begin to say, thank you, Jesus, for this day that you've given me.
Yeah.
And when they foot hit the floor, they're saying, oh, Lord, you've given me strength for another day. He says, I recognize that voice. That's the one that's going in the closet where can't nobody see him so that they can talk to me about what I want them to do today. I recognize that voice because they've been exercising a little bit of prayer.
Thank you.
You gotta spend some time in the Word.
Yes.
You gotta spend some time praying.
Yes, you do.
And then this last one is you've gotta spend some time praising.
All right now.
It's right there. It's right there. David said, but I will sing of your strength.
Yes.
In the morning I will sing of your love.
Yes.
Ain't that praise? Isn't that what that sounds like to you?
Yes.
When it sounded like David got up and said, I woke up this morning.
Yeah, with a smile.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Stay, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
That's it.
It's like he entered into praise, singing unto God.
Yeah.
Because singing unto the Lord does something.
Yes, it does.
To your spirit.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
And it also activates some things around you.
All right.
When you begin to sing to the Lord,
you
begin to affect your atmosphere.
Yes.
Yes.
Everything within earshot is going to be affected by your praise.
Yes.
David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
Yeah, that's what he said.
He said, let the afflicted hear. Let the afflicted hear. Let those who are afflicted hear my praise and rejoice. Everything within the vicinity is going to be affected by your praise, including you.
Yes.
So if you wake up on the low side, you need strength for the day. Start with praise. Praise is when you celebrate and talk about the goodness of who God is. Praise is when you're not asking for anything. You're just thanking God for who he is.
That's right.
God, I thank you that you are an omnipotent God.
Yes.
God, I thank you that you are an ever-present God.
Yes.
God, I thank you that you are the God who is unlimited in your power and in your reach. God, I thank you that, God, when you speak, things begin to happen. God, I remember that at the beginning of time, you said, let there be. And although there was nothing, God, stuff just began to show up because there is power, God, in your voice. God, I just thank you and praise you that on last night, as I slept in slumber, you allowed no harm to come my way. And so, God, I just thank you that you are the God who knows how to protect. You're just praising.
Yeah.
In the midst of your praising him, your countenance will change. In the midst of your praising him, everything about you is going to change. Your mind is going to be renewed, and you're going to be thinking about as the Spirit of God comes in to help you. He's going to remind you that, you're not alone.
That's right. Yeah.
God is with you.
What a shift. Thank you, Lord.
Well, as you can tell, I could go on.
And on. All right.
Because this God that we're talking about that provides strength to us is unlimited. You and I. Pastor Taylor said last week he said that our cups just ain't deep enough for God. He said that he fills us up And what he say? It overflows.
Overflows.
Because we ain't got the capacity to handle the bigness of our God.
Say that. All right now.
So when I start talking about the bigness of God, I could go on and on and on. But
all right now.
I don't want the pastor to be upset, so I'm gonna reel it in.
All right, going on and on.
He says, as you read God's word, as you pray, and as you praise, you are gaining strength to weather life's storms. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's a reminder that yes, life is going to be riddled with difficulties, riddled with challenges. It's going to be riddled with ups and downs. But if you will learn how to stay in God's word, how to pray and how to praise him, you will be strengthened to be able to weather life's journey. It is God who best says this in another psalm that I want you to bring your attention to. And you already know it, because when I began to quote these words, you're going to say, oh yeah, I recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't written by David, but it was written by a group of folks that knew how to praise God. What they said was, God is my refuge.
Yes. Yes.
And my strength. Oh, yeah, yeah. So you got to learn how to say, God is my refuge.
My refuge.
And my strength. Now, the psalm itself, it says God is our refuge. But
yes.
But you know what? When you're in the middle of it, you need to make it personal.
Yeah. All right.
God is my refuge and my strength. And ever present help in times of trouble.
All right now.
An ever-present help in times of trouble.
Yeah.
It says, therefore, we will not fear.
Not at all.
And if you're keeping it personal, you say, I won't fear.
I won't fear.
When fear comes your way, I won't be afraid. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. He is describing
what's going on there.
This catastrophic event.
Yes.
And in the middle of collapse, in the middle of catastrophic failure, which is sometimes what the storms, the issues that come our way, sometimes what it feels like is that, man, how are we going to recover from this? God is saying, in the middle of chaos, in the middle of collapse, in the middle of failure, he says, be still. And know
that I am God.
Then he says, I will be exalted. Like what one of the translations says, it says, surrender your anxiety. Be still and realize that I am God. And I am God above all the nations. I am God, and I will be exalted. I am God above your trouble. I am God above your situation. I am God above your circumstances. I am God, and I will be exalted. If you call to me, I am God, and I will show myself mighty and strong. Be still.
And know
that I am God.
I am God.
Yeah, though the storms keep on raging. In my life.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to tell.
That's right.
The night from day.
Yeah.
Right.
Still that hope that lies within.
That's right.
Is reassured as I keep my eyes upon the distant shore. I know that he'll lead me safely.
Yes, he will.
Yeah.
To that blessed place.
Yes.
But listen. If the storm don't cease.
That's right.
And the wind don't stop.
If the winds keep blowing in my life.
My soul.
Hallelujah.
Is anchored.
Is anchored.
Is anchored.
In the Lord.
Yes.
anchor your soul
yes.
in the Lord.
Yes,
when
yes,
the storms,
yeah.
when the winds
yeah.
come against you,
yes.
oh, you won't topple over.
No.
All you'll right. be able to stand firm because you're anchored to the one who holds it all
yes.
together.
Yes.
My soul is anchored in the Lord. If your soul is anchored in the Lord, that's all the strength that you need.
That's it.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on, will you say it? My soul
is anchored
in the Lord.
In the Lord.
Wait a minute, say it like you mean it.
My soul
is anchored
in
the Lord.